The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Hopefully, when I started last week, the sermon about how will we know that the harvest is near. I had planned last week to take 2 weeks to do this. So let's look at the passage of Scripture that I selected from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 41 through 46. And this is the New Living Translation. I just like the way that it spoke these words. Then Elijah, now y'all know who Elijah is, right? Elijah's a great prophet, all right? And do you know who Ahab is? Ahab is the worst king Israel ever had. I mean, he was a bad dude. He didn't do anything right. The only thing he ever did right is when God put judgment on him. He fasted and prayed, and God spared judgment from him. Oh, thank you.
I don't know if I can get it all out of the way or not.
All right, so we'll get that up so we can see the screen. Okay, that's a little better. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go and enjoy a good meal, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab prepared a feast. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and fell to the ground and prayed. Then he said to his servant, "Go and look out towards the sea." The servant looked, and when he returned to Elijah, he said, "I didn't see anything." 7 times Elijah told him to go and look, and 7 times he went. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a hand rising from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And sure enough, the sky was soon black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Now the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariots all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you have preserved for us. Thank you that we can study it this morning. Father, we look with expectation that your Spirit will teach us what we need to know from these scriptures. Lord, we realize that they're inspired by you, they're breathed by you, they are living words for a living church. And Father, we look to you and we ask for your divine inspiration in our lives that we might hear what you would say to us, the church of the living God, this day in this place. And we pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. As I told you last week, building a church takes more than a hammer and nails. It takes vision, it takes dedication, it takes purpose, it takes a drive to do what it is God has called us to do. Not everyone who comes by is able to do this. It's kind of a frontier mentality. It's going where, as in the words of Captain Kirk, going where no man has gone before, all right? So starting a church and getting going is a major task, but that's what God has called us to do and given us a vision to do that. And we've been looking for signs that we're in the right place at the right time. And we've seen a lot of signs, some bad, some good, but we're in a new day in a new place, and we're looking for signs of the harvest, just as Elijah sent his servant out to look for a sign that the famine was over and that the harvest was about to come in, because they had been under a 3-year drought and there had been a famine in the land. So last week I spoke to you about this, and the first thing I spoke about was that the seeds produce the harvest, all right? Joanne, could you do me a really, really big favor? Would you take that giant purse you got and move it just over? There you go. It helps me to see the monitor down here so I don't have to turn around and see what's on the screen, okay? Thank you. That purse was so big, she's got so much money in it. She needs an armed guard to carry that thing around. Hallelujah. He prophesied that. He liked that. It is filled. Woo! Glory. You guys are out of control today. I can tell. Many years ago, as I shared last week, God gave me a vision of what my life was to be. And He used my wife to bring a passage of Scripture to me from the book of Jeremiah. And I want to flip that on the screen for you to see. No. Just skip past that for me, Jim, because I really, that's what I want right here. Jeremiah 1, chapter 9, verse 10. Then the Lord touched my mouth and said, "See, I put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against the nations and kingdoms. You are to uproot some and to tear them down, to destroy and overthrow them. You are to build others up and plant them." Now, the Lord gave that to me back in 1972, and I've searched diligently through the years as to what the Lord was trying to tell me through this passage of Scripture. And it's come to me, to my understanding at this point, that the nations that the Lord was speaking to are the spiritual nations, that it's my job to tear down the spiritual strongholds. And I have a real desire to do those things and have done those things to stand against the enemy. As I told you last week, we fight against each other, flesh and blood, thinking that we're the enemy, husbands and wives and moms and dads and children and their parents. But that's not the enemy for the believer. The enemy, the nations, are the spiritual forces in high places that war against us, okay? So we need to tear those things down so that we can build up what God wants us to build up. And it's been on my heart, all of my Christian life is serving the Lord, is to build others up and to plant them and for them to grow and to be what God has called them to be. But it takes vision to do that. And the Lord has given me a vision, and I wrote this vision out, and it's our vision statement. I did this when we started the church in 1999. And it says, New Beginnings Church is a place where you can begin anew to bring honor to God, to build relationship with other believers, and find God's biblical blueprint for your life so that you can bring hope to your generation. And I spoke in great detail about that last week, and you can pick up the CD or go online and download it off the internet if you have the ability to do that and to listen to that sermon. So I don't want to re-preach that. But I did find a little video that I want to show you. And if Jim can get over to his technical buttons over there and show this video, I think you will appreciate it. You might have to dim the lights for us a little bit, Don.
Vision.
And we have a vision. And a vision is not tarnished, and a vision is not being thrown away, but a vision is to be fulfilled. All right? And so we want to fulfill the vision that God has planted in the heart of New Beginnings Church. And we are unique and we are different. I think as individuals, we're all, there's only one of you. And for some of you, others would say, thank God, there's only one of you, all right? There's not enough room in the world for more than one of you. But as a church, I believe it's the same way. We have our own spiritual DNA and our own mission. We can't do what other churches are doing, but other churches can't do what we're doing and what God's called us to do, all right? With all of my heart, then I believe the number one thing that we do as New Beginning Church is to give people the opportunity to start over again, and to give them a new beginning. And that's why the message of our church is come home, all is forgiven. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, you can come back home to Father's house and you can start over again. You know, it's not too late. And it's never too late. So we need to get that message out. There are many people that need to hear that. But I want to go on to the second point of my sermon from last week. And that is the signs of the harvest become visible. The signs become visible. And we're going to look in a little bit more detail at the passage of Scripture that we began with. 1 Kings 18, verses 43 and 44, again, the New Living Translation. Then he said to his servant, go and look out towards the sea. There was an instruction to look, to begin to look for what the signs are. And that's what we need to do. We need to look out towards the sea. The servant went and looked. But he returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Sometimes you can't see what's going on, and you need to look some more. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look, and seven times he went. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw, and I highlighted this for you, a little cloud. I saw a little cloud. You would expect him to come back and say, I saw a storm cloud. I saw a big thunderhead. I saw the evidence of a hurricane coming. But he didn't. He said, I saw a little cloud about the size of a hand rising from the sea. Now look at this. The man who had the vision and knew that God, he already knew that the harvest was coming. Elijah already knew. The prophet knew. And then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab. Go see the king, the ungodly king, and tell him, save your hide. Save your hide. The storm is coming. There's a harvest that's about to come. Climb into your chariot. Go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. A small cloud was a sign of the harvest. And the signs that we're seeing of harvest may not be that big to the outside world. But to those of us who have a vision and see what it is that God wants us to do, we see those signs is that the harvest is near. I'm telling you what, friends, I see a cloud. I see a cloud. I see the cloud and the evidence of harvest. I've never seen it this bright before. In 7 to 8 years, now we're going to our 8th year here at New Beginnings Church. I've looked, and I've got to tell you, sometimes I didn't believe the harvest was going to come in. I'd go to God and say, God, can I quit now? Can I go do something else? Can I, you know, go kick back my heels and relax for a while? Because it's not working. We've been on a yo-yo over here at New Beginning Church. We'd build it up, and it would fall away. We'd build it up, and it'd fall away. I've had more disasters here than they've had from Katrina. I mean, I got story after story. Some of you have been with me for a long time would have testified to that. We've got our attendance way up, and then we just fall in the gutter. We'd be sitting here with 20 people. Sometimes Sunday morning, I'd have to count hard to find 15 folks. And then God would, it would build up again, and the same thing. And what it was is the enemy coming in to destroy it. But this time, I see the evidence that this is that moment. And I shared with you last week, that at the end of our fast, God gave me a word that I've been waiting for a long, long, long time and never heard it from God before. But very clearly, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that this church will outlast me. That's the first time I've heard that from God, because I've always felt it was just about me holding together and something happened to me that it wouldn't go on. But God said it'll go on. So the good news is if I roll over and die, you can go on, all right? You don't have to close up the doors. We will go on because God gave me that word. That's a sure sign. That's a little cloud from God. Now, some of you say, Pastor, you just had gas, you know. You didn't hear from God, you know. It's just too much pizza, you know, indigestion, something. But I was fasting, so I know I didn't have indigestion, you know. I know it was God that spoke to me very clearly, and I'm going to be like Elijah telling you, the servants, in a way, is that go look and you'll see that there is evidence of the harvest coming in. For the first time, there is a real harvest at New Beginnings Church. And some of you here this morning, you don't even know why you're here. You just kind of, I just think I'll go to church. I'll just show up, you know. Some of you here for the first time you've been here. But I'm telling you, it's all part of the harvest. You're part of the harvest that God is bringing in. And you're not going to be happy anywhere else but right here, because this is where God called you to be. This is your place. Some of you moved from across the country. Poor Brotherton's moved here from the other side of the world. Up in Pennsylvania, someplace like that. What are they doing out here in the deep south? You know, why am I here? You know, they thought they had another plan. And maybe that plan will come to fruition one day. But for today, they're supposed to be here. Doing what God's called them to do right here. So those are signs of the harvest, all right? Now I want to talk to you a little bit. Now, I'm a little embarrassed to bring up this subject with Jim being here. Because those of you who don't know, Jim is a meteorologist. All he needs is a television screen, and he can point out the fronts and the highs and the lows. And, you know, whatever you want to know, Jim knows about the weather. But I want to tell Jim some things he probably doesn't know about the weather. And I want to talk about the components of a cloud. Now, he's going to probably sit over there and try to correct me, but I'm just going to ignore him for a little while. I'm just not even going to look at this. He already got his arms folded. He knows it's coming, all right? But a cloud has several things, and it's got moisture in it. Yeah? And so we know that a cloud has moisture. It's got static power. It's got a power that you can't see. It's got color that makes it visible. You see white clouds and dark clouds. All right, so it's got color. And it's got potential to grow. It can grow beyond what it is. It has the potential to do that. And I want to tell you a little bit about that cloud and how I see it functioning here at New Beginnings. There is moisture here in the cloud. And that moisture is in the tears of the eyes, of your eyes around here. I've seen your tears. In this last month, there's been an abundance of that. I can tell how close we are to God by how many tissue boxes we use, you know. Then we had to get some new ones. The other ones were emptied out. We had to get some new tissue boxes. There are tears of joy. We broke our fast, and some of you shared with me with tears the things that God had showed you that you hadn't seen before. You know, it's amazing to me that this great truth of the Scripture about fasting, we just about missed it all these years. You know, and now it's the revelation of God showing it so that there's a tenderness in our hearts for the harvest to come. You know, God has to move in our lives before we can move in the lives of anyone else. You know, if you're not really turned on to what's going on in your life and in your place here at New Beginnings Church, you won't be interested in anybody else coming. But let God begin to move in your life and you start getting touched and changed. You know what you'll do? I won't have to tell you to go out and evangelize. You go ahead and do it anyway. Because you'll tell your friends and your aunts and your uncles and your cousins and your moms and your dads and everyone about what God is doing in your life, and you'll say, you know, I know you're going through a hard time. You need to come to our church and you can be helped there. And that'll bring people in. See, so as God moves in your life, you'll be bringing other people in. The truth is, and you know this, we've talked about it before statistically, that people don't come because of the pastor. They come because people invited them. There's very few people ever come to hear the great evangelist, Morris St. Angelo. They should, but they don't. All right? But they come because you invite them to come. And by the way, just by that note, just a little commercial here, I appreciate that Greg is starting to teach your kids, and he went and picked them up and brought them. One way to get people to come to your class is to pick them up and bring them. All right? So Greg got that figured out. So one way to get people to come to church is to say, look, Mama, I know you need to be in church Sunday. You need to hear this message. You need to be there. Go pick Mama up and bring her. That's one way you'll sure she'll be here. You say, I'm going to be in your neighborhood, and I'll pick you up. He said, well, I didn't know you were coming on this side of town. Well, I am, because I'm coming in your neighborhood to pick you up and bring you to church, all right? So you can do that. Work it that way. But it's last week, the testimonies that we saw in the tears of those who shared as we broke our fast indicate to me that there's moisture in this life. You know, One of the things that they look for, and those of you who like to follow these kinds of things, you know that little robot with the camera on it that they shot up to Mars? They're looking for life. You know how they look for signs of life? They look for water. Water is signs of life. They're always looking for water. Or evidence that water was in a particular place. So moisture brings life. All right? The second thing is this power, this static power that's there. There are powerful forces that are moving in our midst. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we all know that God is mighty and God is strong and God's power is not superseded by anything or anyone or any other power. But when God begins to move and we begin to shake the spiritual kingdom, we also wake up another giant. And that is the evil one who comes around to cause havoc. So, when we start seeing havoc around here, we ought to be rejoicing that we know we're on the right track. We're seeing the glory of God and things are beginning to happen, but we're seeing the enemy. Poor Wayne, I feel sorry for you, Wayne. You join up with me and he ends up in the hospital. You know, I got excited about God and lost an arm. I mean, there's no telling. You lost a leg, I lost an arm. No telling which one. Just don't lose your heads, all right? You know, you need your heads. But that's not surprising. Wayne is sitting here in the church, in our building, and the devil comes in our building and gives it, touches this guy and knocks his hip out. Now you might say, oh, well, his socket isn't any good. That's a problem. It's happened before. You can explain it away that way, but I'm telling you what it is. It's the work of the enemy. He was talking to a lady here about serving the Lord and things that she could do, finding out things about her, having a really good conversation, and the enemy comes in. Starts tearing it up. While he was talking to her, I was in the back talking to another lady. She was telling me about the things that she wanted to do in the church, in the kingdom. And so there were two great conversations going on. The enemy came in and just tore that up. So you see, there are spiritual forces at work. Poor Jim ends up in a hospital with an old heart attack and a blockage in his heart. You know? Greg and I almost shot each other. We were going to get dueling guns out and shoot each other. We had such a big fight. You know, it's hard to believe that a nice Christian person like me could ever be mean. But I can be mean sometimes if I need to. And Greg can too. You know? But I'm telling you, these things happen because of the power of God moving. And the enemy doesn't like the power of God moving because we encroach in His kingdom and he doesn't like it. Hallelujah. And when God moves, the enemy also moves. But God gives us the victory. And we won't leave. You know what? There's a saying they say in the military about no man left behind. We won't leave anybody behind. You get hurt, we'll pick you up and carry you on. You know, because we're not going to throw away the wounded. We're not going to leave the wounded for dead. And you may go through some hard times, but I'm telling you, the victory is worth the fight. It is a battle royal that we are in the kingdom. Now, if you can, you might ignore that. You might be like Elijah's servant. Well, I don't see anything. But I'm telling you, things are happening. And there is power that is being unleashed in our very midst. I want to talk about color for just a minute. And I don't mean the color of your skin. I'm talking about the color of the visibility of the power of God that's evident here among us. People are going to begin to see what's going on here. I had a very interesting experience 2 weeks ago. A good friend of mine came into the services for the very first time. And as the new people often do, sit way in the back because they're not real sure what's going on in the front. So he was sitting way in the back. And I spoke to him the next day. And he had an interesting report. He was trying to tell me what he saw while he was here. And he said, and he was searching for words. He said, there's something special going on in your church. He said, I've never seen it like that before. There's something very, very unique. And he's began to search for words. And he said, there's a maturity there that I haven't seen in other church fellowships I've been in. And I got a real testimony of that in my spirit when he said that. There is a maturity here. There's a real maturity. Most of you guys are pretty much growing up in the Lord. And you're growing. You're adolescents, but you're not babies, you know. Or you're adults, and you're not adolescents. There's a maturity here. I'm amazed at how many people we have in this congregation that have a call on their lives and want to do more for God. That's why one of the reasons we're having this banquet Wednesday, so you can help discover what it is your particular talents may be within the kingdom to focus for you, maybe a little clearer some things that you haven't seen. Excuse me, I'll get a little water. So it's visible, and people are seeing it. They're not seeing the outside of the building, but they're seeing what's going on inside you as a church, all right? Now, we have the potential to grow. That little cloud, the size of a hand, became a giant rainstorm in a very short period of time. Like a little cloud, we can become a great storm in the kingdom of God in the harvest, all right? Our purpose, and I want you to understand this, our purpose is not to have more people. We're not here to have more people to fill the chairs. Our purpose is to reach into our community and save lives. We want to touch people's lives. You know how many people are destitute? You know, somebody told me the other day, and this just startled me, that in St. Tammany Parish, we're having, on average, one suicide a day. That's incredible. Let me rephrase that. A suicide or attempted suicide, all right? Not everybody is able to do it when they try to commit suicide. There's such despair, such brokenness, such hopelessness. And we have the ability to bring hope to our generation. People who want to know, how can I get out of this mess that I'm in? Some self-created, some created by others, but in a hopeless and a helpless situation, we can bring life to people again. We can bring them a message of hope. Those who don't know God, those who knew God and fell away, for whatever the reasons may be, people just fall into sin, they get hurt, they get wounded. We can go out and bring those people in. Now, you know who most of those people are that are going to come? They're not strangers. They're people that you know right now. They're people you know. They're related to you. They live in your neighborhood. People that you may work with. Those are the people, because those are the people that you have influence on. Those are your area of influence. Most of the time when you go out and just talk to strangers, most times strangers won't listen to you very well because they don't know you. But people who know you will listen to you when they see the real thing. When the visibility of the harvest is in you, people will see it. And they will want to be a part of that. So we have the potential to grow. I'll tell you a funny story. I'm getting a little too serious here, so I want to tell you just a little funny story. I used to preach a lot when I was in seminary, a lot of small churches, in the little country churches. And I always had trouble remembering people's names. So I was going to a little church one day, and I decided I am going to make sure that I can remember people's name. I mean, it's just rude not to remember a person's name. That's why we have name tags, because it helps me remember your name, all right? I don't have to use my brain. I just use paper and computer. So we went to this little church, and I was early. I got there early, and they met the music director. They didn't have a pastor, and I was just kind of filling in for the day. And this little lady came by, and she introduced herself. I said, "Hello, I'm Pastor Morris." And she said, "My name is Mrs. Thigpen." I said, Thigpen. I thought she's a little thick, you know. You know, it looks like she's, you know, maybe pent up, needs to be set out, Thigpen. I just put a little thing together to help me remember. So I was satisfied that I could remember Mrs. Thigpen's name. Another little lady came in. I introduced myself. "Hi, I'm Pastor Mark." She said, "Hi, my name is Thigpen." I said, "Thigpen? Well, two Thigpens. Well, two, that's pretty." I kid you not, before the day was out, 80% of the congregation's name was Thigpen. You know? But what it was their kinfolk together. Or it was their relatives. So it would not be unusual for us to have your relatives here. That'd be very normal for your moms and dads and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles to be where you are. Because they know you and they trust you and they will come because of you. Because you invite them, and you'll invite them because you care about them. I know some of you here want your kids to come back to church. I mean, your kids haven't been in church in forever. And you want your kids back in church. Your kids are going to come to church not because of me. They're going to come because of your influence in their lives. And they'll hear your voice and they'll come. You'll be the word of encouragement to them. Don't give up on your kids, friends. Don't give up. Don't give up. God is in the business of bringing our children around. Start looking around this congregation. There's a sense of expectancy, expecting things to happen. A sense of excitement that I haven't seen. You know, well, let's go back to church. Let's see some more things. On Wednesday night, you know, we usually run a relatively small group in here, about 8 to 10. Since we've had our fasting, we've been running over 18 people. I think I counted here last Wednesday night. You know, more of you are coming. And this Wednesday will even be more of you. Amen? There'll even be more of you this Wednesday, right? All right. Yeah, I knew I'd get you on that one, all right? Start looking around. Ask God to show you signs that the harvest is here. Don't be like the servant who went out and said, I didn't see anything, all right? Start looking for signs. Now, unfortunately, not everybody's going to see the signs, but that doesn't matter. You'll get to see the rain, all right? You'll get to see it happen after the fact, but it's a lot more fun to know what's coming, to be a part of what's coming. So the harvest is available to us looking for the signs that it's coming. Amen. All right. How's that doing, Jim, on the clouds? All right? Pretty good. And what the man said, I did all right. All right. Let's go on to the next point here. That the strength to reap is from God. God gives us the strength. Let's look at when I read this the first time, this passage of Scripture, I said, there's something about this that I need to know. And I kept reading it, reading it, until finally the Lord revealed it to me. And it's 1 Kings 18, 45 and 46. And sure enough, the sky was soon black with clouds. I could almost see Elijah sitting there. I knew it all the time. You know, maybe the servant had bug eyes, but sure enough, the sky was soon black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Jezreel in Hebrew means God sows, and I'm going to give you a little bit more about that in a moment. Now, the Lord gave, here's what I want you to see. The Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his coat in his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. He outran the chariot. Now, you got to have some special strength to do that. It's not normal for a guy to be able to outrun a horse and chariot, all right, with the king in it. The king would have had the fastest and the best horses in town, all right? You'd agree to that? So, Elijah ran ahead of him. This special strength was given to him in order to beat Ahab to Jezreel. Now, what I was puzzled about is, what is that all about? What's the point here? What are you trying to say, Lord? Is there a message in here for us? And as the more I prayed and thought about it, God began to reveal some things to me about it. He said, Ahab, the Lord spoke to me and said, Ahab is the personification of the evil one. He was an evil king. Jezreel represents the place of the harvest. And the evil one was trying to get to Jezreel, where God sows, all right? I said, Hebrew is God sows. He was trying to get there. And what happened was Elijah got there before the evil one to get to the harvest. And that's what we will do. And God will give us the strength to run ahead of the enemy to get to the place of the harvest, all right? You see that? So it's a running ahead. Elijah got there first. When God sows, God's people reap the harvest. Now, I want to give you a parenthesis right here. And I don't believe in preaching a lot of foolish prosperity messages that are designed to give you false hope. But I believe with all my heart that as we as a church prosper in the church touching people's lives, we as individuals will prosper in our own lives. You will do better. God will bless you. God can't help but bless you because that's the kind of God He is. He is a giver above all things. And He will bless you. And I believe God will bless us with things like victory over the forces that keep us down. Many of you are fighting battles you can't get victory over. I'm believing with all my heart, according to the Word of God, that you're going to start to see some victories in your personal life that you never saw before. Some of you began to see that happen this past week when we ended that fast. That's why we're going to fast again. We're going to do it again and get more victory. Some of you weren't able to do it the way you wanted to do it last time. So you're going to have another opportunity. And we're going to keep fasting and watch the victory start coming in. Some of you got financial problems. I believe God's going to start giving you victory over the financial problems. You'll start to see your finances turn around. Start seeing a victory in your relationships with other people, between your kids, your husbands and wives, others around you, on your jobs. You'll start getting better jobs. I believe that you will prosper as the church prospers. Now, you need to latch on to that, all right? You need to latch on to that, and you need to begin to tell yourself that in your spirit. You need to start telling the enemy to get his hands off of God's property, which is you. And you need to start taking authority over the enemy who's trying to rob, steal, and destroy for your life. And start believing the promises of God. Now, the best place to get the promises of God are where? In the Bible. Go look in the Scriptures. Go read. If you need help, go read the book of Psalms. Man, it's easy. You can't find a bad psalm. Every one of them will build you up and help you and get you going and get you growing. It'll help you so much in the spirit. So begin to see yourself prospering as your soul prospers. Amen? I want to prosper. I want to have better health. I want to have more money. I want to give more money away. The one thing about money is you give it away and God gives you more back. Anybody ever been able to outgive God? I don't think so. Had a guy one time told a story about how he was giving to the work of the Lord. He's a very, very wealthy man, and he gave a substantial amount of money. Well, the economy went south, and his business, he lost his business, and he lost all the finances that he had. And his friend was talking to him. He says, "Man, don't you wish you had that money back that you gave to the church? You could use it now, couldn't you?" He said, "No, indeed. That's the only money I didn't lose." And God turned that guy's life around and turned his business around, and he came back into prosperity. That's why Paul said, "I've learned to live with abundance, and I've learned to live with nothing." You know? So God takes care of us no matter where we are in our stature of life. But I believe that God wants to prosper you that you can prosper others. If we're going to build a church, like I told you a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to pay cash for it, we need $1 million. And I don't have $1 million in my back pocket, and probably neither do you. But the only way we're going to get it is from where? From us. We're not, forgive me. We're not waiting for the road home to give us $1 million. We've been waiting a long time, won't we, Percy? We've been waiting forever and ever. We're not going to go make an SBA loan to do it. That won't work. We're going to believe God to show up. Look for God's prosperity, and God will prosper you to prosper the church. All we need is 20 people with $50,000, and we got it paid for. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? I mean, if you can get $50,000, how much should you get? $500,000. Now, I know those numbers sound big and ridiculous and foolish, but it's happened before. Why not happen again?
Why not you?
That's right. That's right. It's got to happen to somebody. Why not you? Why not me to be able to do that? From the time we've started New Beginnings Church, I believe that we'd have a church one day and we could pay cash for it. It's been in my heart to do that. And I don't like to borrow money, and I don't want to borrow money. I want to do it cash on the barrelhead. I love going to bankers and saying, "I don't need your money." Makes me happy to do that. Put money in the bank. Don't take it out. That's another story for another time. Elijah arrived first and kept the enemy from destroying the harvest. And that's what we need to do. We need to ride first. In order to ride first, we're going to have to run fast. In order to run fast, we're going to have God's strength. In order to have God's strength, we're going to have to go to God. We have to do the things of God. I want to tell you something. If you want to be an Olympic runner, you're going to have to pay a price to do it. You can't sit down and hope it'll happen. You'll be like me. You'll be out of shape and unable to do it. But in order to achieve anything in the physical, you got to pay the price to get there. And I'm telling you that we're going to have to pay the price to get there. We're going to have to run fast. But all we need is our will, and God will give us the strength. All right? He's in the business of giving the strength. All we have to do is use our will. Just like to be here Wednesday night, you're going to have to make up your mind to come. that you will. And then God will give you the strength to come. And you don't even have to come fast. You can just come slow. But you can get here and we'll have food. But you will make up your mind to come and then God will bless you. We need special strength because the adversary is strong. Now this past year, God has really prospered us as a church. We've done well. Our finances are strong. Those of you who have gave there, you'll find your offering receipts for the IRS in the back of the church. It should be in alphabetical order. There's an envelope. I think they're back there on the information desk. You can pick those up, and in there you'll find the financial statement of the church and how we did. The good news is we took in more than we spent. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you. To a tune of about $500-some-odd, I believe it is. So that's not a lot, but that's good. But in the midst of that, this is what amazes me. One thing I've discovered about God, and I'm an accountant by education, that's what I have my degree in. One thing I've discovered about God, He doesn't go to the same accounting school that I go to. He doesn't do things. He doesn't have debits and credits and minuses and plus. He doesn't do that. I don't know how He does it. But last year, we took in about $500 more than we spent. The remarkable thing is that today, and we got some of this from last year, but I was able to put enough money in the bank for us that today we have in the CDs somewhere around $46,000. That's pretty good, huh? That's good. That means we only have to have 19 people bring in $50,000. So we already got it done once. Now I'm telling you, that's a lot of money for a little church. I mean, that really is substantial. Now, how did we do that? I can't tell you. I went over the books. I did that this past couple of weeks. I was going over the finances, trying to figure it out. I said, Lord, it doesn't make any sense. How were we able to save money? And the savings don't show up as an expense. I mean, if it wasn't an expense, I don't know how we did it. But we did it. And I'm just happy about it. All right? So we got money in the bank. So, you know, we can pay the electric bill. But that's not money for the electric bill. Hopefully we don't have to use it for that. I want to keep that money as a seed money that we'll need in order to get our own place one day. Amen? Yeah. All right. We were able to add some new staff. We brought Greg on board. He graduated from the seminary. And he joined us. And we're paying him a whopping salary. It's a wow salary. Thank goodness his wife is working. And he's got another job as a physical therapist because he ain't living on what we're paying him, all right? And I told him, this is no indication of your worth, all right? This is an indication of what I think we can afford right now. So, but it was a big step. Our rent went up this year. Remember, I was crying about that early in the year. The landlord raised our rent, and I'm not mad at him. He needs some money. It's his business. It's okay. But Bill's been very good to us through the year, so I don't mean to be critical about him. We brought Greg on. They got added expenses for that. We've been helping with these other churches that have been using our building. And believe me, they're not paying nearly what it's costing us to keep this going. But in the midst of it all, God has been prospering us. So our finances are good. We brought on Greg. And then God gave us another gift with Pastor Wayne. And he's an associate pastor, him and Joanne. You can see he's excited. He's jumped in this thing like he knows what he's doing. And he's got more ideas than a squirrel's got acorns in the fall. I mean, he's just... He's got ideas that I don't even know how he didn't think about keeping up with him. So I'm just turning him loose. And maybe that's why God lets your leg get chunked out so you wouldn't be quite so fast so I could keep up with you. I don't know. But what a blessing that Pastor Wayne came on board. By the way, I decided to pay him twice what I get paid. All right? So he's making two times nothing. All right? We got other ways of getting funds. Hopefully one day we'll be able to take care of that and remedy that situation. But that's a big step for us. I mean, for a little church, we're getting really top heavy with people who have ability to do things. I mean, that's phenomenal. Most little churches our size, I mean, they're struggling just to get a pastor on board, a full-time pastor. So we have just an amazing manifestation of how God has strengthened us this past year. And we got new people. And not only new people, you guys want to work. That's incredible. You want to do something. I'm excited about that. And, you know, we put out this job thing and you fill those things out, things that you thought you were able to do and wanted to do. And that's just really exciting. We're going to do this thing Wednesday night to help us some more. I'm just overwhelmed that you're willing to do so much. That's really, really good. We're going to break the old rule. The rule is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work in the church. Well, I think we're going to break that rule around here. I don't see 80% of the people doing 100% of the work, and the other 20 are just learning, and they're in apprenticeship so we can get them to work. I'm still stunned. I know I'm repeating myself. I don't have dementia. I'm not seeing now. I don't have all time. But I'm just stunned that y'all fasted for 3 days. I mean, 100% of you jumped in at one level or another to be a part of that. It's just absolutely incredible that you're able to do that. So that's just marvelous. Brother Wayne's all right. He's not going to hurt me. All right, I know he's coming up here. But we have new people. We cannot fail if we don't lose heart. Just don't lose heart, all right? Don't give up. If there's a battle raging, or if you're tired, or if you're wondering if it's going to happen, don't lose heart. Elijah's servant had to go out 7 times before it saw it happen. Now, I like to think that we've been here for 7 years, so we've been out there 7 times, and we've seen the cloud coming up the size of a hand. Don't let the enemy defeat us. Let's stay over him and not under him, all right? Let's stay victorious. Let's keep ourselves prayed up, fasted up, and up and over what the enemy brings against us, okay? And if we don't stop doing what God has called us to do, if we don't throw in a towel, if we'll just keep at it, I believe God will bless us and cause us to see that harvest. I believe this is the year of the harvest for us. I believe we're going to see our congregation double this year, and maybe more. That's what I'm believing for, okay? Now you might say, how are we going to get twice as many people in here? You let me worry about that, all right? You get them here, we'll find a place for them. These walls can come down in New York instant, all right? We'll get rid of the kitchen. We'll get a kitchen in the back or something. But we'll get folks in here. We'll have multiple services. We'll do something, but God will take care of that. So, in closing, this is what I want you to do this year. This is what I want you to do this year. You ready for this? I want you to give more this year than you gave last year. I want you to give more this year than you gave last year. You're going to get your little reports back there. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Lord, would you let me be able to double this year what I gave last year? And say, oh, Pastor, I'm just barely eking by giving what I'm giving. I don't know how I can give anymore. You know, I'm already tithing. Maybe you ought to start tithing what you want to give. Start giving more. Don't be limited by a tithe. You can give more than that. And if you'll give, I promise you this, according to God's plan, you will prosper beyond that, all right? There will be more. God will prosper you. So give more this year than you did last year. I want you to pray more this year than you did last year. I want you to find a way to pray. You know, when somebody comes to your mind and you think of someone, maybe you'll think about me, or you'll think about Miss Pat or Wayne, or you might think about your brother, your sister, your mom, dad, aunt, uncle, husband, wife. When you think about them, pray for them. Many times that's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you to pray for somebody. And just think, you know, prayer doesn't have to be in a cloistered environment, you know, kneeling down with a candle burning. Prayer can be while you're driving your car somewhere and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. May be while you're laying on your bed going to sleep at night. May wake you up in the middle of the night and you can pray. I want you to pray more this year than you did last year. All right? And I want you to fast more this year than you did last year. In some respects, we've already done that. But we have not yet begun to fast. I have a motivation and a goal that next January, don't get scared, next January, I want us to go on a 21-day fast. And I want us to get practice this year, to get ready to do that. You might say, how can I do that, Pastor? I don't think you can help but do it. I think you're going to be crying to do it. I think you're going to be so pumped up about doing it by the time next January gets here that you'll be telling everybody you know to come over to this church and join us in the fast. Because if we can tear down walls with a 3-day fast, we can tear down the devil's strongholds for the 21-day fast. I believe that. So we're going to be fasting doing this year in preparation for next year. I'm making plans for next year already, all right? I'm already a year ahead of you. But if we'll do these things, we will see the glory of God. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you really want to see the harvest come in? You really want to see the harvest come in? You really mean that? Are you willing to do what it's going to take for the harvest? Are you really willing to do it? I said, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. But you'll be dancing on the streets, rejoicing when the harvest comes in. There's always joy at the harvest. Nobody's happy in the field when they're sowing. Nobody likes it in the hot sun. Nobody likes it when the work is going on. But when the harvest is in, there's rejoicing. I want your harvest to come in, all right? Your harvest. Why don't you join with me? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus the Lord, Father, right now, as best we know how, we ask you to let us be laborers in the field. Let us go into the field, Father. Let us go forth sowing with weeping. And Father, let us return with joy, bringing our sheaves and bringing our harvest into you. Lord, that we can lay the harvest at the feet of the cross, at the foot of the cross. We can lay that at your feet, Father. For it's all about you, Lord. Father, we together as a body of believers, we join our hearts and our wills and our hopes and our dreams and our vision. We join them together and we believe you for a great outpouring of your Spirit. And we do this in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Before I close, I want to ask you, since I don't know everyone that's here this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Him as your Savior, all right? Maybe you've been to church, you know? Maybe you've been to church since you were a kid, or maybe you hadn't been to church in a very long, long time. And maybe you've heard about Jesus, the historical figure, but you never really met Jesus, the Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, or you'd like to reestablish your relationship with Him this morning, will you just lift up your hand for me? Anybody here that just doesn't know the Lord, you'd like to do that this morning? Anyone at all? Don't be embarrassed. You're among friends. Anybody at all would like to receive Christ? Well, I'm assuming by the fact that nobody lifted their hands that everyone here is a believer, or maybe you're just embarrassed. All right? But I'm going to make it easy on you. We're going to pray a prayer, all right? Maybe you're just too embarrassed to raise your hand, but I'm going to give you a chance to pray and ask Christ in your life. Why don't you just pray with me? Just pray out loud. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I'm here today. I believe I'm here by divine appointment. And right now, as best I know how, I turn my life over to you. I ask you to forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. And right now, I invite Jesus into my life. I believe that Jesus lived, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. And right now, I receive Jesus as my Savior. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, before you leave the building, would you just come by and see me and tell me about it? You can just tell me privately. I'd appreciate it. I'd love to know it. Amen. Brother Greg? I'm sorry, I couldn't.